I'm really excited. We're starting a new series tonight that'll happen for the next 4 weeks, including tonight, called Goliath Must Fall. Now, before we get started, I want to ask you a question. How many of you, well, not a question, but think about some battles that you have seen either in your lifetime or you have heard about them. Like, for example, anybody a UFC fan in the house? You guys, did you guys hear about Silva? I got some pictures of some battles. This first one is a UFC picture. Check it out. I don't know who it is because I don't know anything about UFC, to be honest. But this guy, bummer on him, right? Failed a drug test, bummer. Or what about you guys, this may be before your time, but Holyfield Tyson, anybody ever heard of? You guys may not know this, but this is a picture of Mike Tyson biting his ear off. Not the whole ear, but like a chunk of his ear was literally detached. I mean, it was unbelievable. Could you imagine that? Maybe you shouldn't imagine that, right? Or how about you? How many watch the Super Bowl? Anybody watch the Super Bowl? Yes. Super Bowl. Who was for the Patriots? Seahawks. Yeah. Huge battle there. But here's my favorite of the last couple months. Check this picture out. This is the battle of all battles, Alabama, Ohio State. Listen, man, hey, I got to be honest. Sorry if you're an Ohio State fan in the house, but I did not expect them to beat Alabama. I mean, I thought there's no way that they're going to win this game, and then Ohio State put it to them. Who thought that Alabama was going to lose that game? Be for real. For real. Thank you for your honesty. Who thought Alabama was going to win? So did I. So did I, right? So maybe you guys can think of some battles that you've faced, right? Some battles that you've heard about. I can remember when I was in the seventh grade. Let me see your hands if you're seventh grade. Seventh grade, okay. Well, I remember when I was in the seventh grade, one of the battles that I faced. So seventh grade was my first year playing football, okay? And so from first grade to sixth grade, I tried to convince my dad to let me play, and finally at seventh grade, he let me play. So at our middle school, where I went to middle school, you know, it was a sixth through eighth grade, everybody's on the same team. Here's what they told me. They told me that before, you know, I officially came a part of the team, they were like, we won't put you against someone who's not at least around your weight. You know, like, I was an offensive lineman. Anybody play offensive line in here, football? Okay, I hear you, I see you. So they were like, we won't put anybody against you that's like, you know, twice your weight or too big or anything like that, you know. And so I was like, okay, cool, man, that'll be great. And so my seventh grade year, I go out. This is the first practice with full pads, you know. And I'm pretty freaked out. This is my picture. Yeah, there we go. Seventh grade right there. What you guys can't see is this massive. No, leave it up there, man. Let's just enjoy it. Leave it up there during the story, okay? Right above my left eye is this massive zit. I mean, it's awesome. You guys are with me, right? You guys are with me. So, seventh grade, I go out, and they put me across this guy named Jonathan Swinford. Now, the thing about Jonathan Swinford is no one called him Jonathan Swinford. His nickname was Twinkie. It was Twinkie. I tried to actually get some Twinkies, but we couldn't find them, so I have Swiss cake rolls. Anybody want one? You can have that one. All right. So, sorry, bro. Sorry, man. Next time. So, here's the thing about Twinkie, though, is that Twinkie, first off, they called him Twinkie because he loved Twinkies. Right? But secondly, I'm not kidding you, he weighed 310 pounds. 310 pounds to my 165, okay? And so here's the deal. Every day for football practice, I went up against Twinkie. All right, so when I was on the offensive line, he was on the defensive line. When I was on the defensive line, he was on the offensive line, right? And I wish that I could stand up here and tell you guys that there was this time where, like, I was on the offensive line and I blocked him and put him on his back and then the running back ran all the way for the touchdown. I can't tell you that. It was actually the other way around. Usually when I was on defense and he was on offense, I ended up on my back, right? And it was a huge battle. You can take a picture down now. But it was a huge battle that I had to face, right, in middle school, right? And I never defeated him, just to be honest with you. But he was 310, and I was 165, okay? So cut me a little slack, you know what I'm saying? But it was a battle for me. Some of you guys, you can think of battles that you face. Maybe for you, it's a battle, you know, it's a battle in your mind, right? Maybe for you, it is a battle that, you know, something like maybe somebody bullying you at school or somebody that's giving you a hard time at school. Maybe for you, the battle for you is within a relationship. Like maybe it's a parent or a teacher or a coach, right? We all deal with the battle of temptation. The reality is that you have battles. I have battles. We all have different kinds of battles. And what I want to do over the next couple weeks in this series is we want to take a look at the life of David. And we want to look at some battles that he faced. But before we get into it, here's what you have to understand. And if you want to turn open your Bible to page 284, you're welcome to do that. It'll be right underneath your seat or in front of you. Page 284, it's on the top of your outline as well. But I want you to think about it like this. In 1 Samuel 16, now we talked about this story back in September. And tonight we're going to talk about this story from a different perspective and in a different way. And so in 1 Samuel 16, the chapter before the one we're going to be in tonight, what happened is that David was chosen to be anointed as king. Samuel, right? Samuel chose David. And it wasn't his seven other older brothers who were bigger than he was, stronger than he was. They were in the army. David was a shepherd boy. And so for David to be chosen to be anointed to be king, it was unheard of. No one expected it. It was something that no one could have predicted that would be the case. And so the next chapter is the story of David and Goliath. Now, how many of you guys have heard the story of David and Goliath? Just raise your hand. How many of you have never heard the story? You've never heard the story. All right, so some of us have heard the story. Some of us have not heard the story. I want to kind of summarize it, and then we'll go back through and look at some specific parts of the story. Here's what you got to know. There are the Philistines and the Israelites, right? The Israelites are God's army. The Philistines, they were at war against each other. And what happened is there's this guy named Goliath. Now, Goliath is this massive individual. The Bible said that he was 9 feet tall. Now, everybody look at this basketball goal. This basketball goal is 9 feet tall, okay? Where's Austin? Is Austin in the house? I talked to Austin before the service. Come up here, Austin. Come up here, bro. So here's the thing. I just want you to get a visual of what this looked like. This is like Goliath. This Goliath is 9 feet tall. And not only is he 9 feet tall, but the Bible said that his armor, thanks, Austin. Give it up for Austin. He's the man. Okay. So you're just going to stare at that goal, dude. All right. So, here's the thing, Goliath's armor, right, weighed 125 pounds, okay? So this guy was huge. Can you imagine, right? This is what Goliath was. This is how tall he was. I'm not exaggerating. This is what the Bible says, that he was 9 feet tall. You don't have to keep looking at it, bro. You're the man. But he was 9 feet tall, and his armor weighed 125 pounds. So what happens is every day, and Austin, you can have a seat if you want to, man. But every day, right, Goliath stands in front of the army of God, the Israelite army, and he basically defies them. He makes fun of them. He mocks God. He does all of these things, right, for 40 days. 40 days straight. And every single time Goliath approaches the army, the whole entire Israelite army, what they do is they shake in fear. None of them, not one army guy, right, wanted to go up against Goliath. Not one of them would. Not one of them thought that they could win. They would all shake and tremble in fear. And what happens is David, who is a shepherd, who his job is to watch sheep all day long, okay? Kind of lame, just to be real, right? He didn't want to do that. I mean, well, I can't say that he didn't want to do that, but he wasn't like his older brothers. His older brothers are in the army. They're big. They're huge. They're the men. And David is just a shepherd guy. Well, Jesse, David's dad, says, hey, man, I want you to go deliver some supplies to the army. You do good? Cool. So David delivers these supplies to the army, and while he's delivering the supplies, he overhears what Goliath says. And David gets ticked. David's like, who in the heck is this guy making fun of my God? Who in the heck is this guy saying these things about the God that I serve, the God of the Israelite army? Are you kidding me? So he looks at the army and he's like, are you guys going to go fight? You know what I'm saying, Austin? And they were like, no, we're not. And so David's like, well, I'll go fight him. Now, stand up, Austin. So this is like David right here. Austin is David. And he is fighting against Goliath. So can you imagine what the people thought when David was like, dude, I'll fight him? People probably made fun. Not that we're going to make fun of Austin, because Austin's awesome, right? But people probably thought to themselves, what in the world? How in the world is David going to fight Goliath, right? And so what happens in the story is that David goes, he gets these five stones, he gets a slingshot, he takes a rock, puts it right in the middle of the forehead of Goliath. Goliath falls, and then David goes and cuts his head off. It's awesome. And the Israelite army wins. They have the victory because David was willing to fight. Give it up for Austin. You can go sit down, man. I just wanted you guys to see, kind of a visual of what that could have looked like. Now, if you're being real with yourself, I know for me, if I were in the army and I saw David go up against this giant, I would have probably made fun of David. I probably would have thought to myself, dude, what are you thinking? Dude, he's going to step on your head, you know? But yet, that is not what happened. God chose, he chose the one person that no one else would have chose, that everyone else would have overlooked, if you will. And so what happens at the end is that the Israelite army defeats Goliath and the Philistines. Now, there's a couple of things that I want you to take from this story as we kind of go back through it. The bottom line is that David took a stand, not the actual bottom line, but David took a stand for God when no one else would take a stand. I want you to understand that, right? The whole army was scared. The whole army was freaked out, if you will, right? And he's the one that stood up. So here's the first thing, and you can write this down on your outline. I'd love for you to write it down. David fought for God years before he fought Goliath. You have to understand that. David, little shepherd boy David, he fought for God long before he fought Goliath. Long before, right? It's important for you to understand that up until this time, David was the little brother. Any of you guys a little brother? See some older siblings or little sister? I hear you. So David was the little sibling. He was the younger brother of seven older brothers, right? And so he was too young for battle. He was too young to be in the army. He was too young to go to the battle lines, right? He was too young for all that. His brothers were older than him. He was a shepherd tasked to watch the sheep. That's what David did. He literally spent day after day after day watching sheep. Now, some of you ladies, you would love that job, wouldn't you? You love animals, love being in the... But guys, are you serious? Like, right? I mean, sheep, they smell really bad, and that's what he did every day. He's watching the sheep. That was his job. But see, here's the thing. Many would say that David's life was insignificant. They would say that his life was completely insignificant. Yet we know that David was the greatest king in Israel's history. But he wasn't king yet in this story. In this story, he was a small little guy who was a shepherd. And what you have to understand is some of you, you can relate to David's story. Some of you, you sometimes feel insignificant. Sometimes. Maybe because of your age, maybe because you're not old enough, or your parents use that excuse and say, well, you're not old enough to do that, or you're not old enough to go here or there. And sometimes you just feel like your life is insignificant, or you don't matter, or it's not a big deal. And David probably felt the same exact way. Knowing that his older brothers were going to battle and he was watching sheep, I can guarantee you that he probably felt the same way at times. And yet what happens in David's life is that even in the moments and the years of insignificance, he did not walk away from God. His relationship with God grew deeper. See, when David was in the desert, when David was watching sheep, his relationship with God was forming. His relationship with God was becoming most important. As a matter of fact, in Psalm 23, which we won't turn there, but in Psalm 23, David wrote words like this. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. See, David's relationship with God was so, it was at a level of depth where he knew God and God knew him. David's core relationship was God. So many times we think, man, that would be a terrible job to watch sheep all day. But what he was doing is he was getting closer to God. He was diving in to who God was. And so maybe some encouragement for you and some of you that maybe you identify with David in this idea of like insignificance or my life doesn't matter or no one cares or it's not a big deal. Some of you can identify with that. And so maybe for you in this season where you feel that way, even though it's not true, your life is definitely significant. But sometimes the way you feel is the way you feel. So maybe the encouragement for you is, what if you were to dive deeper into your relationship with God? What if you were to take these years of what feels like insignificance and really choose to dive into your relationship with God so that when the day comes and you want to take a stand for God, you're ready for it? See, David went to this fight, this battle, and I would be willing to bet that the reason why he could stand up to Goliath is because all of the years where he was in the wilderness taking care of the sheep. The second thing that I want you to know from this is that David stood when no one else would. David stood when no one else would. The Bible says it like this. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Think about this. David not only stood for the Israelite army, but he stood up for God. See, David's greatest concern was God's reputation. David's greatest concern was God's glory. As a matter of fact, in the Bible, it says this. It says, David asked the men in verse 26 standing near him, "What will be done to this man who kills this Philistine and removes the disgrace from Israel?" Listen, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" Here's what's happening. David is getting hacked off. And he's like, who is this guy? His greatest concern in this story was God's glory. This guy is talking about the God that I serve. The God who restores my soul. This guy is talking about him. Something's really, really wrong with that. And that's what David was saying. And so this was not a decision that would cost him some friends. This wasn't even a decision that would get him ridiculed, even though his older brothers were making fun of him. When David said, "I'll fight him," his older brothers were totally making fun of him. But see, this battle was something that would cost David his life. It could have cost David his life. Everybody thought it probably would. If you were David looking up at Goliath, there's no way that I would have thought that I could beat him. And yet something inside of David told him that he could. Some of you, the greatest barrier or roadblock for you when it comes to living your life for God is your reputation. You are too worried about what people think about you. You are too worried about your reputation. You're too worried about your popularity. And so you wonder, well, why can't I follow God, or why can't I do what God wants me to do? It's because your reputation is on the line. And see, for David, he used that as his fuel. His fuel was that God's glory was being made fun of, and that he was going to stand no matter what. He was going to go up against Goliath. This is such a good story. I love this story. It's probably the greatest battle in all of the Bible. But sometimes what happens is we read this story and we start thinking things about the story that aren't necessarily true. For example, we may read this story, we may think, okay, what Goliaths are in my life that I have to slay? Or, man, what is it in my life? What giants do I need to face in my life? And the problem with looking at a story in Scripture in that way is that that is looking at it with this man-centered perspective, and it's not God-centered. Sometimes when I would read this story as a little kid, that's what I would think. I would think, man, what is it in my life that I got to take on? Man, I got to go and fight against this Goliath in my life, right? But that's man-centered. It puts all of the attention on me. It puts all of the emphasis on how strong am I and what can I do and what do I need to do and who do I need to slay? Not who, but what, right? And yet there's such a totally different meaning when we look at it from a God-centered perspective. I want you to read with me. This is page number 285, verse 45. It says this. It says, David said to the Philistine, this is my favorite part of the whole scripture, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head." Can I just read that again? "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head." Verse 47, "All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. The battle is the Lord's, and he will give you, all of you, into our hands." Can you imagine, Austin, if you would have went up against Goliath and said, "I'll cut off your head"? You know what I'm saying? But that's exactly what David did. And here's the whole point of the whole message, of the whole story of David and Goliath, is that David did not defeat Goliath. God did. Think about that. It's actually the bottom line of tonight. David is not the one who defeated Goliath. God is the one who defeated Goliath. See, the story of David and Goliath, when we look at it, the story of David and Goliath is not about you going out and slaying giants that are in your life. The story of David and Goliath is about something, is about you submitting to God and watching him show up to do something that you can't do. Think about this story. It was humanly impossible for this little guy, this shepherd boy who had no training in the army, no training in battle, no training to go to war, to defeat the biggest giant on the face of the planet, this 9-foot Goliath. It was humanly impossible for that to take place, for Goliath to go down by a rock and a slingshot, for David to defeat him. But when God is in the equation, nothing is impossible. When God is a part of the picture, nothing is impossible. David talked earlier in this chapter about killing a lion, killing a bear, that when a sheep would leave the stable, he would go after it. And literally, he slayed a lion and a bear. That'd be pretty cool. But he did. Why? Because God gave him the strength. See, this story, you have to understand, it's not about you going out and defeating big giants in your life. It's about you depending and looking to Jesus, who is the only one that can help you to fight. He's the only one that can help you to fight. So here's two things that I want to encourage you to do. The first thing is this: remember your need for God. See, David knew that he desperately needed God. He desperately needed God in his life. The God that would restore his soul, the God that would be his shepherd and lead him and guide him and direct him. And for some of you, here's the reality. You can't say that about God because you don't know him like that. And first off, I want you to know, we're so glad you're here. If you're here tonight and you don't know Christ, you just kind of came to hang out with some friends, we're so glad you're here. And I want you to know that God wants to be your shepherd. He wants to lead you. He wants to guide you. He wants to direct you. He wants to walk with you. God loves you so much. For those of you that know him, remember how much you need him. Remember how much you desperately need God. And not only do we need God, but here's the thing, man. This is the reason we do small groups. Tonight, you're going to go into your small groups and maybe you're going to talk about some battles that you have faced. Some battles that maybe you are facing right now. Like tonight, you are in a battle and you don't know what to do and you don't know who to go to. And your small group is a people that you can lean on them, your small group leader. The reason why we do small groups, it's not just to do small groups, it's because we know that we's greater than me. And that together is better than alone. And so I encourage you tonight, when you go in your small groups, talk about this stuff. Talk about the battles you're facing. Talk about the things that, man, you're up against and you don't know how in the world anything's going to change on your own strength. You need God and you need people. And secondly is this. This is very practical. Memorize Psalm 105:4. Here's what it says. It says, look to the Lord in his strength. Seek his face always. I've read this verse so many times over the last year of my life, and it has meant so much. As a matter of fact, there's a picture that's going to come up. I've put it on my phone wallpaper, and that's what I'm going to encourage you to do. If you have an iPhone, if you have a smartphone, maybe this is a really practical idea that you can take and say, man, I'm going to make that my wallpaper so that when my phone locks, I got to open it. You'll always see these words. Look to the Lord and to his strength. Seek his face always. See, David, the reason why David could defeat Goliath is because he knew it wasn't his strength, but it was God's. It wasn't his strength, but it was God's strength that would do it. And students, here's the thing. The coolest part of this story, and then we'll leave. We'll wrap up. The coolest part of this story to me is that it foreshadows what is true for every single one of us in this room tonight. See, in the story, when I read this story, I look at it and I say, Jesus Christ is David in the story. and sin is Goliath. And for every single one of us, that is exactly what Jesus did. Jesus came from heaven to the earth, and he defeated sin. He destroyed the ultimate Goliath, if you will. Every sin that you've committed to this point and every sin that you will commit from this point to the rest of your life, Jesus died on the cross because he loved you that much so that he could take away the pain, the bondage of sin in your life. And some of you have never trusted in Jesus. And I just want to encourage you. You can come and talk to me. Maybe when you go to your small group, you can talk with your small group leader. Anybody with an M12 shirt, we would love to talk with you. If you're here tonight and you would say, man, I've never placed my faith in Jesus, and I want to, I encourage you to make that decision. It will be the best decision of your life. And so let's pray. God, thanks for this story. Thanks for the meaning that is behind this story. We read this story and we laugh and we think, no way, how in the world? And yet the reality is there's so much to learn from the story of David and Goliath. I pray for these students as they go to their small groups and talk about battles that they face, that you would give them courage and boldness and help them to know their need for Jesus. We love you. Thank you for what you did for us on the cross. In his name, amen.